before we read the next chapter, I'm going to take a sentence and summarize the chapter that we've just been in. Because there's 7 points that we've hit through this chapter, and the order is important, but the points are important. Okay? And it's all in taking Gideon and making him into the mighty man of valor that he was. Okay, and here they are.
Write them down, guys. Come on.
Number 1 was feeding on Christ. Number 2, the exercised heart. Number 3 was his own nothingness. I'm the least in my Father's house. Number 4, a soul at peace with God. Number 5, worshiper. Number 4 allowed him to be number 5, a worshiper. Which then brought him to number 6, which was obedience. Which then brought upon the power of the Spirit of God. So one more time. Feeding on Christ. Verse 11, was it? Threshing wheat. Exercised heart, identified with the condition and the needs of the people. His own nothingness. A soul at peace with God. A worshiper. Obedience. And power.
I wanted to say, too, before we get into the next chapter, that there might be a second reason for the double affirmation. And I think it goes along with what you're saying, David. But I think that we always need to remember that the Lord not only is dealing with our hearts, but he's dealing with the hearts of others. And he knew well the children of Israel and the difficulty that there was going to be. We're looking at these verses in the arrangement of these chapters, and we know that this test is going to come with the fearful going home and so on. The Lord knew it already, and he knew what Gideon would need. Now, let me, just stop and think for a moment. You've been reduced. You may have felt that
downsized.
You may have felt that you had a smithereen of an opportunity with 32,000 people, but now you're going to be brought down to 300 men. And I love to believe again that the Lord, in testing Gideon, and he gives him something else. We'll see that. He allows him to hear what is going on in the camp. But the Lord knoweth our frame. He knoweth our weakness, doesn't he? And so we find that he's abundantly willing to stoop and to just do all that could be asked for, that we might have the courage and the strength in him to go on. So the Lord is going to send many of this company home. I don't know, how many verses do you think that we would, maybe the first 7 verses that we would try to cover? We've got 25, the first 8 verses. How about that, Luke? Would you read those for us?
Sure. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him, rose early and encamped beside the well of Herod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, "The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, 'My own hand has saved me.' Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, 'Whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead.' And 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. But the Lord said to Gideon, 'The people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them there for you. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And of whom I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go.' So he brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, 'Everyone who laps from the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, you shall set apart from him by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink.' And the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, "By the 300 men whom left, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his place." So the people took provisions and their trumpets in their hands, and he sent away all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained those 300 men. Now the camp of Midian was below him in the valley.
I think it's important to see that he rose up early, and not just him alone. I think of what you just said, Brother Chuck, that God knows that there's many other people too. It wasn't just Gideon. And so now, if the people saw timidness or hesitation on Gideon's part, they may have not been so ready to follow. But now, rising up early with full confidence, and we don't want to overlook a few words in the verse 40. It says, God did so that night. And how much assurance now Gideon could have in his own heart and soul that God is on his side, and then he's proved himself, and now he rises up early. Not just him alone, all the people rise up with him. And with full confidence and assurance that they can now go forward, only because God has proved himself faithful once again to Gideon, and he's going to show him further how faithful of a God he really is.
And just to add to that, we're reminded right at the beginning of this chapter of the faithfulness of the Lord already, because we have his other name brought in, Zerubbabel. So we're already reminded of the victory that he's already won. And so he goes in that strength that the Lord has given him now to go on to what the Lord has for him. To me, it's encouraging to see that.
I think it's interesting, too, to see that there is this large crowd that has gotten up with Gideon. The well that they encamp against, it means trembling. And we find out that the first thing that God says is, let's ask and see who's afraid. And you know, when there's a crowd, it's very easy to get lost in a large group of people. You go around here, the majority of us just are, melding in together. But if we asked each of us to stand and say something, we'd see how timidity and fear would immediately just grab hold of us as I see it getting closer and closer to me. And so I believe that one of the things that God is showing here is the heart of men. One, he wants to show that the power is going to be of God. But he wants us to know also our nothingness. Sometimes we think that we have the capability to stand against the enemy. We think that sheer numbers mean everything. But God is going to whittle things down to where it's just those few that God can use. And I think the challenge as we look at these verses is to say that I want to be someone that is in that final count, that God can look on me and say, and it's not that you're not going to have fear. They tell you that men are in battle. It's not that they are not fearless. It's that they execute even though they have fear, because they trust in their training. Emil talked about SATs the other night. It's going to come down to being able to trust in the true and living God, that he will give the victory. And that, I think, makes a difference between the other 22,000 and the 300 that remain.